but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It wasn't meant for teams in that expansion era, the Mariners expansion era in the late 70s. It wasn't meant for those teams to win early. That's not how it was built. And further, the Mariners didn't have a great front office. First, maybe 15 years of that organization's history, front office wasn't great. The Yankees and the Red Sox and the Indians were dominating the American League during the time in which the Mariners got good, even. The 1995 team, probably one of the best teams to not win a World Series, lost in the championship series. And people ask me all the time, they say, why haven't the Mariners won a World Series? And I say, well, the fact that they don't get to a World Series is part of it. This team is capable. This Mariners team is capable not just of winning their division, not just of winning the AL, the American League. They are capable of winning it all. They have a good lineup. They've got good pitching. I am sitting forward in my seat this baseball postseason because I think the Mariners have a shot. They have a shot, and baseball is such a quirky, weird game, and it is unforgiving that you've got to play well once you get there. But, man, you got to give Kyle Rowley a lot of credit for the fact that they are where they are. But why isn't Kyle Rowley getting the credit? Jeff Passan, ESPN, talking to Dan Patrick here about why Aaron Judge should be the American League MVP.
Aaron Judge's OPS right now is 175 points higher than Cal Raleigh's. Are you telling me that because Cal Raleigh has a home run total that ends in a round number, and that because Cal Raleigh happens to play with really good guys surrounding him and a team that went out and got Josh Naylor and Gino Suarez at the deadline that helped push them toward that division title, are you telling me all that makes up, along with the defensive elements, for that 175-point gap, which is real, which is significant, and which is enormous?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm with Dan Patrick. Cal Raleigh getting to 60 home runs, and the Mariners being where they are in the American League is all I need to see in this American League MVP race. He needs two home runs to tie Aaron Judge's American League record of 62. It's crazy to see him at 60. Yeah, three home runs to break the record over the final four games. You tell me how that goes. But I find it interesting that so many people want to go to Aaron Judge and New York and ignore the fact that, like, a player who is carrying a team in an era where, a franchise that has
Aaron
never...
Aaron Judge's OPS right now is...
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about his OPS. I'm looking at the Mariners going, this team could win a World Series. They're that good, and they've got a player in Cal Raleigh that is carrying them. That is enough for me. And I love that Dan Patrick stood tall there. The truth of the matter is that, Aaron Judge is a great player. Aaron Judge, this MVP thing, it's like splitting hairs in some leagues and some days and some seasons. But you can't ignore what Cal Raleigh has done. And no, we're not saying just because his home run total ends in a round number. We're not saying just because the Mariners went out and got guys. We're saying that without Cal Raleigh, the Seattle Mariners are not the American League West champions. They're not potentially the American League champions, And they're nowhere near this World Series conversation without him. And the season that he's put together, it is quite literally the most valuable season in baseball presented by any player. And the Mariners deserve a ton of credit, and Cal Raleigh deserves credit, and I hope he gets his due. I hope that the usual suspects don't just vote for Aaron Judge and others and dismiss the contributions of Cal Raleigh. Speaking of big-time things that are going on, I would be remiss if I didn't just for a moment recognize the University of Portland men's soccer team. Nick Carlin-Voigt and UP men's soccer have risen in the national rankings. If you don't know where they are, be educated. They are number 2 in the nation, highest rank since 1992, I believe. Incredible that Nick Carlin-Voigt and the Pilots are where they are. I feel like we should get them on the show more often because of that. You know, they've got, you know, the highest rank in the history of the program, second in the country. They're home on Saturday against Gonzaga. It's their homecoming at 7 o'clock. Oh, hell, there he is on the back line. Nick Carlin-Voigt, as coincidence would have it. Hey, congrats, number 2.
That's great, John. Thanks for having me. Good to speak with you again. Great to get up there. It's definitely something we embrace. It's great publicity for the university. It's a great accomplishment for our young men. We've had a really strong start to the season, 6-0-1. Top 10 in every major poll, and then our peers ranked us 2 in the country, which is the highest ever in the coaches' poll. So kudos all the way around. The non-conference has gone really well, nearly perfect. Had a really good win against Denver, who was in the Final Four. We were on top of them for most of the game. We were winning 3-0 up until the last 5 minutes and ended up getting 2 back. But it's always good to learn a lesson after a win. So now season 2 starts. We got a big game Saturday for homecoming. We play Gonzaga, who's a very good team. And now everyone in the WCC is 0-0. And WCC this year is really strong. I think 22 conferences in men's soccer, and we're the 4th ranked RPI conference in the country. So we know that the hard games are ahead, but we're really pleased with what's behind us and only looking forward.
You beat Denver 3-2. Big one for you. And Joe Highfield is the WCC's Offensive Player of the Week. That is the third week in a row, I think, Player of the Week. But you know, how do you build this thing, Nick? I know you've had success, but we've talked for a lot about how college athletics is changing, and yet you keep winning.
Yeah, we got to evolve. You know, I think the last words of any dying business is, we always did it this way, or this is how we've always done it in the past, and we've had to evolve. But not in our philosophy and values. You know, we have 5 guys who are starting for us who are redshirts, who didn't play their first year. And I think it's the way that you treat people, the vision that you have. Players only leave if 3 things happen. You know, not having fun, they can't reach their goals and dreams as a team, and then they can't get to where they want to go, maybe at the next level professionally. And we've been really proud. I think we've had 30 young men from Portland since I've been here go on to the next level. Over 10 guys have been drafted. We've been in the top 10 in the country, John, you know, 4 of the last 4 years at some point. Elite 8 2 years ago. I think we've been best in class in a lot of ways, maybe a best kept secret. And we know that we're going to have to keep fighting for our respect. But we're also not happy either. Like, we want to keep winning championships. We want to keep pursuing greatness. We're not afraid to say we want to chase 2 championships. That's a WCC championship, which San Diego's won, you know, the last 3 years, and the program has never won a national championship on the men's side. And so I think it's good to have big goals. I'm an aggressive coach. I have a big vision, a bold vision that's supported by our athletic director, Scott Lakem, and our president, Dr. Kelly, that, you know, this is Soccer City USA. We don't have a men's football team. Why not make this the premier destination in the Northwest, the West Coast, if not the country, to play college soccer? If you haven't been to a game at Merlot Field, come out this Saturday. It's going to be a great event. There's going to be food trucks outside. There's homecoming festivities. The weather is great. It is a beautiful place to watch a game. And I think our product is really exciting. You know, we put the ball down. We play attacking football. We love to get to goal. We love to score goals. Our young men are in the community. We have a 3.6 GPA. They graduate. They do things the right way. And I think they're just a really good example of all the good things going on at UP right now.
You know, a kid like David Ajogbe, you know, played at Ohio State last year, stud freshman, been great for you since transferring. How do you get a kid like that to come and go, hey, UP is where I need to be?
Well, the funny thing is we actually had him on an official visit, and the coach at the time, which was me, didn't recruit him. So, he wanted to come. He wanted to come back home. Recruiting is an inexact science. Ohio State did a great job with him. He went on the portal. They had a really good team last year. He was looking for a change. We were able to sell him on the vision here. You know, we continue to beat out, I think, you know, schools with high NLI budgets and, you know, SEC, Big 12. I'm going to brag a little bit. We have 7 wins against the Big 10 since I've been here. And so in no ways do we operate like a mid-major program in any way, fashion. We want to be a major program. You know, we don't get to say that, but, you know, I think our winning percentage at home the last 10 years, the pros that we've produced, I think you saw the pathway that Brandon Cambridge had from the Whitecaps where David's from, and saw that Brandon was able to reach his goals and dreams here. He's able to be, you know, offensive player of the year in the WCC, get to an Elite Eight, you know, really a free kick away from the Final Four. And then ultimately Brandon was able to pursue his dreams, and he's in his third year as an MLS pro for Charlotte. So I think in a lot of ways, you know, there's this big talk of Power Four dominance, and that's real. They can have the smoothie bars and the NLI packages and all the big donors. But I still think players want to be pushed. They want to be around guys who are going to help them. They want to be in a competitive environment where they have to earn it. And ultimately, I think there's something to be said about, you know, the magic of Merlot Field and what we've been able to create. Long before I got here, we just had to re-energize that fan base and really, you know, put a product on the field that was exciting. And these guys have done a great job with that. So I think, you know, recruiting is the lifeblood of any college program. You got to have good players. Dan Lanning just said that. Like, you got to have good players to win. Any good coach has good players. And our recruiting class, you know, always ranked in the top 10 in the country. We're always competing against the best of the best. And, you know, we want to recruit our kind of guys, guys that are humble, that are talented, that are team first. That are process-based, that want to improve, that want to be coached hard, but also want to be supported. I'm a very compassionate coach, but I'm a very competitive coach. And, you know, I expect a lot of myself. I expect a lot of our coaches, and I expect a lot of the players. And I think players want that. Players want to have high standards. You know, they want to have pressure in the right way, and we believe that pressure is a privilege. It's not something that's going to stop us, or we're not going to be afraid of that. We're not going to, you know, run away from those high standards. And the standard is the standard, and that's one of our mantras here is, you know, we're always going to have the bar really, really high.
Nick Carlin-Voigt, our guest, University of Portland men's soccer. They're home on Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Merlot Field. They're playing Gonzaga. It is homecoming and family weekend. All right, keep it going, man. You know, I know it's where you finish, not where you start, but I want to give you a fist bump. Being number 2 is not too shabby.
Yeah, it's a great feather in our cap, and it's behind us. We move on and start season 2. And, you know, our mindset now is to go 1-0 in every match. So come on out. It's going to be rocking Saturday night. Come out and support the Pilots. If you've been to some games, come back. If you've never been, bring your kids, your family, your neighbors. Come on out. It's great, cheap fun.
All right, Nick, keep it up. There's Coach Nick Carlin-Voigt, University of Portland men's soccer. They are the number 2 ranked team in the country. That is, you know, they're one of the best soccer teams in the country right here in our backyard. Go check them out. This weekend's going to be a huge weekend for sports, obviously, with Oregon playing that 4:30 kickoff against Penn State. Oregon State has the Friday night game. We have so much more ahead on the show, including Dan Lanning, who will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. And that is, just a few minutes away. We'll have Punch and Audio as well. And we'll lead you right into Thursday night football right here on 750 The Game. But good stuff from Nick Carlin-Voigt. See, I just talk about a good guest. And I talk about, you know, the mojo they've got going and the momentum they've got going. All I have to do is speak about it for just a second, and then ultimately, boom, they're on the back line. That's how it works here. We'll keep talking about it. Like, we'll manifest Dan Lanning in the 4 o'clock hour. And then who else? Tomorrow's show. Oh, tomorrow's show is going to be good. Jerry DiNardo, former LSU coach, former Vanderbilt coach, former Indiana coach, now on the Big Ten Network. Jerry DiNardo will be with us. Jake Butt, former Michigan tight end, is going to talk about what it's like to play in a whiteout situation. And we'll go boots on the ground to Happy Valley, where Brian Capel will talk to us about what it's like to live in Penn State territory. Leave it here. You got the BFT.